The sermon text is from Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The psychologist B.F. Skinner taught us a principle called positive reinforcement. He found that punishments following undesirable behavior did not work quite as well in changing behavior as positive reinforcements did. So when a favorable outcome follows a particular behavior, that behavior is reinforced and thus is more likely to occur in the future. So when training your animal or your child, you reward good behavior in order to encourage it. So, if the Facebook picture that I post receives 100 likes, I'm much more prone to post something quite similar to it in the future. When you pour out your praise upon your pastor for his wonderful sermon illustrations, but then say nothing when he simply expounds the meaning of the text, he's more likely to use stories in the future. When you compliment the pastor for using the hymns that you like, he will aim to please the next time he plans the service. Is that your intention? Maybe, maybe not. The scriptures say, give thanks to God and bless his holy name. Okay, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my wife, for my family, for my new granddaughter. I give thanks that I have a home to live in. We even have more than one car and, well, at the moment, none are broken down sitting in the shop. I'm thankful for my health and I'm thankful for the freedoms that I enjoy in this great country. I'm thankful. It won't be long before the political campaigns will ramp up. And as they do, we will see and we will hear the ads. Due to government regulations, the ads will end something like this. I'm Michael Henson and I approve this message. And so this got me to wonder. It got me to wonder just how much of our Thanksgiving prayers to God are simply an expression of our approval of God's actions. When I say, I give thanks for my car, am I really saying, God, you did a particular good job in that automotive category, and I like what you're doing as regards to my health. Now, I'm not going to mention anything about my loss of hearing, but I think you'll understand what I mean. Is it giving thanks? Are we simply telling God that we approve of his actions? Just the other day, I heard a man say, I tried prayer a couple of times. I didn't get what I want, so, well, I gave it up. Perhaps we wouldn't admit it, at least out loud. But could it be that we're simply trying to influence God by our prayers? That is, a little bit of positive reinforcement, you know? Are we trying to get God to give us the things that we like by praising him when he does things that we like? And then, we think that we have moved from unthankfulness to thankfulness when we come to realize our lesser blessings. So, when I say, I used to complain about my hearing, but now I give thanks for my new hearing aids. What I really mean is that I desired to have my ears healed, but I'm willing to settle for the inconvenience of wearing hearing aids or having glasses taking medicine, or using a cane to get around. It's kind of like saying, well, I didn't get the Christmas present I wanted, but this one will have to do. Which doesn't sound very thankful, does it? If that doesn't make you feel better about God's care, then we go on to engage in what I would call comparative thankfulness. At least I'm not deaf. Some people can't walk at all, so I'm glad for this rotten cane. At least I'm not in a nursing home. My favorite response, though, is one that we jokingly throw out sometimes around our household. Well, nobody died and went to hell. I mean, everything sounds better when you... Do we think that God is really pleased with that kind of approach? All right, so look at it this way. Take this card out on your wife. You're not the wife I was hoping for. Turn the page. But there are a lot of really rotten wives, and some people don't even have a wife, so I'm thankful for you. It doesn't really give you warm fuzzies, does it? Is that what we do with God? Johann Sebastian Bach, a Lutheran cantor and a music director, wrote cantatas for Sunday afternoons. These musical arrangements were designed for choirs and soloists, and they would take the Sunday gospel theme from that morning, the readings, the prayers, and then put them to music. Like the liturgy, as the themes change throughout the church year, some of these are rather joyful, some of them are quite somber. So recently I listened to a performance of Cantata 156, which is entitled, I Stand With One Foot in the Grave. Not the most joyous one. It's based, though, on Jesus' healing of the leper in Matthew 8, and it actually comes on after, it would be the Sunday of Epiphany 3. It's not the same leprous account of healing as we have in today's Holy Gospel, which is from Luke 17, but the sentiments I found are very similar. They're the same as the one Samaritan who returned to give thanks in today's reading. So, the author of Cantata 156, what does he do? He puts words into the mouth of the sick leper. Allow me to read the English translation. It's about two paragraphs long. Consider, as I read, that you are the leper coming to Jesus and asking for mercy. I quote, I stand with one foot in the grave. My sick body will soon fall in. Come, dear God, when it pleases you. I have already put my house in order. Only grant that my end is blessed. My anxiety and distress, my life and my death are, dearest God, in your hands. Therefore, you will turn your gracious eye upon me also. If you will, because of my sins, place me on my sick bed, my God, then I beg you, let your kindness be greater than your justice. But if you have ordained that my sufferings will destroy me, I am ready. Let your will be done to me. Do not spare me. Carry on. Grant that my distress may not last long. The longer that I stay here on earth, the latter I shall be there in heaven. Lord, what you will must content me, since what you plan is for the best, in joy, in sorrow, in dying, in prayer and supplication, grant always that what happens to me may be, Lord, as you will. And if that is your will, that I should not be ill, then I shall thank you from my heart. But then with this, grant to me that in my vigorous body, also my soul may be free from illness and always remain healthy, Take care of it through word and spirit, for that is my salvation. And if my body and soul languish, then you are, God, my consolation and my heart's portion." End quote. From these words, we can learn much. We can learn much. No one speaks this way today. Have our blessings, which historically speaking, far exceed the blessings of any other time or people. Have all our blessings made us ungrateful? Is it simply our lack of knowledge, maybe a scriptural knowledge we don't know, that makes us, well, ignorant of our proper relationship to our God, between God and his people? You see, with these words, the leper pours out his distress and his sorrow before his gracious God in prayer. Of course, we bring to God our problems, our distress. The words are not an expression of approval or disapproval. With these words, the leper acknowledges that he is in God's hands. We chanted Psalm 100. As we chanted it, the same thoughts you'll hear in verse 3. "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." You see, the leper knows his relationship before God. There is no comparative thankfulness, no. Whether the Lord heals or not, the leper simply asks that God's will is done. If the Lord wills to leave him sick, then he asks for kindness. If the Lord wills that he die in this sickness, then he says, "Grant me a blessed end. Give me the joys of heaven sooner rather than later." If the Lord wills to heal his body, then the writer says, "I will give thanks from the heart." He also asks for wisdom, that this God-given health might not take him away, but keep his soul right with God. And finally, the leper exclaims that no matter what happens, he possesses God. God is his consolation and his portion in this life, and with that he need not worry. Yes, today's epistle says that there is to be a giving of thanks be made for all men. In another place it says, 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And St. Paul in Philippians 4 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, to be content." When we know that the Lord, he is God, he has made us and not we ourselves, then we understand our place in this world. He is the creator and we are his creatures. "Lord, what you will must content me, since your plan," you are the creator, I didn't bring myself into existence, I can't keep myself here, "everything that has happened is because of you. Your plan is for the best." But we must learn more, I tell you. We must learn more than that there is one who has created us. Because you see, the one who has created us has also done something for us that boggles the mind. Psalm 100 says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Our God has become our shepherd, our good shepherd, in the person of his Son. Our God has rescued us from our sins through suffering and death. Our God has made us his people by the waters of baptism, by the preaching of the gospel. Our God has fed us with his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, that our faith might be strengthened, that faith might hold on to God and we might have him. He becomes ours. The Lord is our portion. Psalm 100 says this, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." The leper's prayer in Cantata 156 and the 10 lepers' prayer to Jesus in Luke 17 are founded on the knowledge that God is merciful. He is loving and kind. "I am content because the Lord, my Lord, only knows what is best for me. He is working out all things for my good. If God sends me sickness and distress, then I know that he has not forsaken me and he is not punishing me. With my God, I have a godly contentment. If God heals me and grants me relief, then I will give him thanks. Of course, we're going to give thanks for the special blessings. Now, we're thankful in all circumstances, but when he gives us things and we realize it, yes, with my God, I have a godly contentment. Our God is not manipulating us so that he can get us to do work for him. And we are not manipulating God by our prayers of positive reinforcement so that we can get what we want from him. No, our gracious and loving God is proclaiming to us the knowledge that we need to know in order that we might know our relationship to him. And when we know that he is God and that he is good and his mercy is everlasting, then we are thankful and we bless his holy name. Of course, if we are sad when our health deteriorates, if our possessions are lost, if our relationships go sour, why, yes, we do pray that God would have mercy upon us, that he would take away these things, and we ask that he would shower his blessings upon us. Like the lepers, of course we come to God and say, have mercy. Nevertheless, we come before his presence always with singing, because we know that his answer will always be merciful and good. We know that his timing is perfect. In Psalm 100, God doesn't need to command us or force us to give thanks because we have a new life in Christ. That new life in Christ leads us right back to God's house that we might enter into his gates with thanksgiving. As his creatures and the sheep of his pasture, we do return to him. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Jesus didn't command the 10 lepers, get back here, return and give thanks. Nevertheless, when that one returned, he fully expected to see the rest. Why? That's what Christians do. The gospel says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. My Christian friends, you know your relationship. You know what kind of God you have. You know about the blessings of forgiveness that he has showered. Oh, and he will take care of all things. My Christian friends, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.